It's 4:30 Downtown Tuesday. That means John Corrales joins us from Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John.
Hello there, sir. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you. A big old round number in the win column for the Boston Celtics, number 50 last night, and that is certainly cause for celebration.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think these guys have earned a little bit of a, you know, a little pat on the back. You know, I think that, you know, in a long season where there's always these ups and downs, these little milestones that you can take to kind of appreciate how far you've come are good. They're good for the team to acknowledge. It's good for the, you know, for the fans to acknowledge. Be like, it's pretty impressive that they've won 50 games before March 12th. So that's it's a nice spot to be. Phil Jackson always said that to get to 40, you're not a real contender unless you've gotten to 40 wins before 20 losses. Well, they've gotten to 50 wins before 20 losses. They have a chance to get to 60 wins before 20 losses. So I think despite all of the micro stuff that people want to, you know, complain about, the big picture is that these guys are really, really good.
And they're on a pace for 64 wins, which would put them in pretty rarefied air in Celtics history.
Yeah, that would be the fourth best record in Celtics history, with the number one is 1973 Celtics, who were rolling until Dave DeBuscher knocked out John Havlicek with a separated shoulder, or dislocated shoulder, I should say. And that ended the Celtics title run there. But that team was really good. And then 86 and 08 was two of the better teams in Celtics history. So if the Celtics can climb into that, you know, 64 wins puts them right behind those three teams. I think historically speaking, that makes them a very impressive team.
And last night, and as you said, and as happened so often this season, right in the middle of good things happening was Derek White again.
Yeah, he just finds himself over and over again at the center of positive things. Sometimes he gets a tick in the stat sheet. Sometimes he doesn't. But whether pushing the pace, and I think in the first half especially, the Celtics did a great job of dictating the pace, controlling the pace of the game. And that was almost exclusively Derek White and his efforts to push the ball. And so, getting to the rim, defending, making the right pass, making just the right defensive plays without getting a block shot, but getting the stops, preventing people from getting to where they want to go. It's amazing how good he really is. When you talk about impressive, we know Jalen, we know Jason, but Derek White, he is, I think he and Porzingis might be the two most important Celtics because of all the things that they do matchup-wise and all the little things that they do to make sure the game is going in a positive direction.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. Well, they finally had back-to-back losses last week for the first time all season. Did they learn anything from that, or did they really need to learn anything from that?
Well, I think there's always something to learn from that. You know, you have to have a bit of humility. You have to have a bit of just understanding that if you're not playing the best basketball that you can play, you have a real risk of getting beat in the NBA. This league, we are conditioned to think certain things about, like, you know, this team has this record and therefore this should be an easy win. The NBA's talent is so, so good that even the teams that aren't great, right, the teams that don't necessarily fit together well, they still have a level of talent that allows for runs, that allows for them to get hot. And if you're not careful, someone like Dean Wade will get going. And when that hot hand gets going, man, that, you know, the basketball gods work in funny ways. And if you're not careful, Dean Wade catches fire. You kind of deserve to be burned by it. So those lessons are important to just kind of get reinforced, that you have to play, respect your opponent, and Every once in a while, you get dinged for a loss. But again, like I said earlier, the fact that the Celtics are kind of running away with the East and kind of the NBA in general, it allows for some of these lessons to be learned without any real consequence to the standings.
You know, you look at the standings, and I've been kind of following the Bucks lately. They've been on a pretty good roll, and I thought, well, they're not going to catch the Celtics, but they may firmly establish themselves as the number two in the East. But yeah, the Bucks are hot. They've won 7 out of 10. The Celtics have won 8 of their last 10.
Yeah. So it's the Cavs had that moment earlier this year where they went 20-5 from January 2nd through the end of February. And the Celtics also went 20-5. So the Cavs went from 7th to 2nd and gained no ground on the Boston Celtics. The Bucks retook 2nd and are starting to kind of find their groove, and they've gained no ground on the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are just doing all of the little things they need to do. And, you know, yeah, they had those couple of losses, and no team is going to end up with a perfect season. But they bounce back. They take care of business against, you know, Phoenix is not a bad team. Portland is a team that you should take care of business against, and they did pretty comfortably. That's what you do. Like, the Celtics have two game losing streaks this season. That's it. That's the end of it. That might be the most impressive stat of all for them, that they haven't lost 3 in a row this season, and they might not. That's incredible.
Second of a back-to-back tonight against the Jazz. Anything they need to be careful of?
The letdown. You know what I mean? It's the Jazz are in that same boat as Portland. They've got some good players. It's just if you are not careful, they can string a few buckets together. And they can burn you. So they are a capable team, even though they've traded away some of the pieces that helped them win, and they're not interested necessarily in winning. But this is another game where if you focus and you move the ball and you run, you can pile up some points and start to get some early separation. So if you let down, if you come in, and this is a very tough back to back. Portland, way up in, you know, the northwest corner, down to now you're in altitude to Utah. You lose a time zone, so you're already getting in late, and it's an hour later because you're moving east, and so it's easy to kind of get tired. So it's going to be tough to get that focus, but if they can keep that and keep that proper mentality, they'll be all right.
Just feed Sam Hauser tonight, right?
That's right. Keep seeing if he's got the hot hand. See if that hot hand travels from Portland.
I sure hope so. John, great talking with you. As always, enjoy the game tonight, and we'll check in again next week.
All right. We'll talk to you then. See
Thanks,
you.
John. John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast every Tuesday right here on Downtown.